Oh, hello again. Nice to say hello. My name's Angela, for anybody who's arrived since we started. And it is lovely to be here speaking to you. Thank you very much for your welcome and for your prayers. I'm looking forward to our formal welcome next Saturday, when we will have tea and quite a few visitors, I expect. But it's really nice to be able to take this chance just amongst ourselves with a few visitors, with Tim and my friend Louise here as well. Hello, Louise. Just to embarrass you. To have a chance to commit ourselves now to this new beginning, a new start. For me, it's a beginning in a new role, new friendships, new locality, new project, I expect. Perhaps you have got some new beginnings in your life at the moment as well. I don't know much about what's going on with everybody yet, but there may be new beginnings. We're also just had New Year, haven't we? And maybe there's something that you took up for New Year. If you haven't, then it's not too late. I know last year Jonathan decided he would start learning Spanish. He started on the 2nd of January, actually, and I decided to do it well. So we have both done Spanish every day since the 2nd of January last year. We just got our one-year streak on Duolingo. This year he's decided to join a choir, which I'm not going to join him in, but you can ask him how he gets on with that. I think he's been to one so far. See if he can get such a good streak on that. Maybe you've committed to something more of a sort of traditional year's resolution. What sort of thing might that be? You might have thought, okay, let's try and lose weight. Let's try and drink a bit less. Maybe you're doing dry January. Maybe do a bit more exercise. How's that going for you? Well, interestingly, apparently the third week of January, which is what we're in now, is the time in the year when people feel the most depressed. I think Christmas is gone. There's not so many festivals like looming yet. Easter, I think at the moment, seeing Easter eggs makes me feel more depressed. I don't know about you. I've seen some in the shops. Our resolution to some of our commitments from the year might be beginning to wane. In fact, the third Monday, which is tomorrow, is known as Blue Monday. That is the most depressing day of the year. And there's quite a lot of world events happening tomorrow, aren't there? But we'll not say more about those at the moment. So the new year, new beginnings, time to take stock when we look up and look around and think about where we're going and what we're doing. And that's what these resolutions and commitments are really about, aren't they? They're different ways in which we're expressing our desire to reset our path, to be better, and do better, and reach for more, and live a life that we feel has got meaning and purpose in it. And that is part of our human nature. That's where we hear everybody saying, oh, you know, new year, let's have a new start, a try. We're all looking for something in life that's worthy of our effort, something that's going to bring us that feeling that we matter. And that's why new starts are inviting and exciting, isn't it? They hold that promise. We want to be better at doing what we ought to do, and we want to be better at not doing what we oughtn't to do. So for us, in this new beginning and in renewing our commitment now, where does our help come from? We started with those words, didn't we, from Psalm 121. Our hope comes from the Lord. Our help comes from God. So let's look at what that actually means. And the passage I've chosen for today is one that I'm sure is very familiar to a lot of people. You've probably heard preaching on it before, but I'm going to pull out one or two things that it said to me, which is from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Let's read just verses 1 and 2 to start with there, up there on the screen. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. It's probably very familiar to you. So I thought we would also just look at it in the message as a way of like bringing a fresh feeling to it, a sort of newness for us today. Here we are. So, here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, You're sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing that you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. There, it says it, God helping you. God is active. He's not watching and waiting and judging. He is with us. He is helping us. That's what we reminded ourselves of at Christmas, wasn't it? Emmanuel, God with us. But it's more than that. He's for us. He's beside us. He's facing the way he's going. He is actively helping us. And then what we do is embrace what God does for us. And that's what we're going to be choosing today. It's a two-way partnership. That mysterious process where God does stuff and our part is to embrace it, to partner with it, to join our efforts. He won't do it to us and we can't do it without him, as we well know when we have each year to renew our resolutions. And he's calling us to live a different way, to be shaped by his principles and not by the principles around us. So let's see what it says on the next slide, the next part of the same Romans 1 and 2, chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. Brings the best out of you. That's what we're looking for in New Year's resolutions, isn't it? For ourselves, in our church, as we come and put our commitment and our resolution, our resolve towards this new beginning and our recommitment. It's an expression of our hope to bring the best out of ourselves, to be the best selves and live our best life. That's what people say, isn't it? I'm just living my best life. And we want to find that life in all its fullness that Jesus has promised us. And this is how we do it. We fix our attention on God. Listen to the voice of God over the voices in our culture. Recognize what God wants and respond to it. We partner with God. We want to come into agreement with his ways, because it's in that place that the best comes out of us and we will be changed. We know, those of us who are a bit older, everybody here has grown up will know this, that is really, really hard to change yourself, isn't it? But with God's help, we can. That's what this is telling us, that we don't have to keep going around the loop of each year facing the same difficulties, that we can be making progress, taking steps along the road that we go in life, as we just sang earlier. So today we're going to be thinking about how we can help each other to recognize God's voice. So let's read some more words from Romans 12. And now we're reading back in the NIV. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith that God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. This is talking about each one of us knowing who we are as part of this body. We're called to know ourselves, aren't we, first and foremost, and how we fit together. We're called to recognize ourselves not as bigger than we are and not as smaller than we are. but to recognize ourselves for who we really are. And that's what maturity is, when we have a view of ourselves, and then we can fill the role that is for us in the church. So as an example, I'm here, I'm leading this church, and I'm teaching this morning, I'm here today, but it's not because I'm special. I'm just the same as everybody else in God's eyes. It's because this is the way that God has made me. It's the gift that I have and the abilities that I have to be able to lead and to teach. And I'm just following that call and doing that role as best I can, just as everybody else in this church is doing the same. I was thinking about this week when I was thinking about stepping into this role. I used to play netball. I haven't played recently because I've got a bit older and it's quite a physical game, but I used to play a lot, and I used to play for quite a good team that played in the Southwest Regional League. And when I went to play matches, we'd have a team of 10, there's 7 in the netball team, so some people wouldn't be on at the start. And when I was not on at the start and I was watching the team, I would think, oh my goodness, how am I ever going to do that? They look so good. But when I got on, didn't enter my head once that I couldn't do it. Just played netball and I fitted in completely. And I was just part of that team. And it's because I was doing the role that I knew how to do. And it was because the team was all there doing their own roles. I wouldn't have been able to do it well if they weren't doing their roles well. And it was because we operated as a team that we could all do it. And I think that's a great analogy for today, as I've been thinking of starting and thinking, you know, I've got this team. We're all going to be working together in a body. And as a body, we can do the thing that we need to do. So let's look at some of the roles that Paul has mentioned. I think we've got them up on a slide. Yes, there we are. Those are the ones that were in the reading. If you've been at Hebron a while, and I know many people here come regularly, you probably could put names of people in this room to most of those gifts and abilities. Do you know somebody with those gifts today? Perhaps you can think of them in your mind, and then after the service, you can go and tell them what you see, that you think they have those gifts and abilities God given to them. Naturally or supernaturally, they are the things that God can do. So let's encourage one another to flourish in the things so that our church flourishes. It says we all do our part. I mean, I used to play in netball in defence, but I'm absolutely useless at shooting. I'm like an anti-shooter. I get it in less than your average person, I can tell you. But that wasn't my role. But we could do the whole thing because we were all doing our different parts. And the truth is that as we each flourish, we all flourish. And that's because we all need each other. So how can we help each other to discern the guidance of God in our lives? You know, where it is that we could be operating and working and using our gifts. I really believe that following God's guidance is very much about what we become. It's about God bringing out the best out of each one of us, as we heard in that reading. That's what God wants. That's God's vision for us. So we support each other by helping each other to flourish in their gifts and abilities so that we all become our best selves. And that is what God wants. He sees in you what he put in you when he made you. And his journey in your life is to bring out the best of you during your steps that you take in life. It's not really about the details of our choices. It's much more about who we become as we partner with God through the journey. And God can work through any circumstances and bless us and bring out the best in us. And during the, just before Christmas, I think, though, I was here, and we had a service where people shared stories from life, testimony. I can't remember who it was who shared it. You might be here today. And you were saying about how you'd come to a decision point in life. And you'd felt God say, well, you can choose either of those things, either path, because I will bless you in either of them. And I think that can be a very good message, that God can work through any circumstance. Anything that's happened to us in the past, nothing can stop God from bringing you through to the best place that you can be as you look ahead, as you move ahead. Sometimes we do have particular questions, like that person did, where God said, well, bless either way. But a couple of weeks ago, we were looking at Gideon. And Gideon did have a question. He was asking God, should I take up this role, Lord, that you want me to do, leading the people of Israel into battle? And God was calling Gideon because he had seen in Gideon something that Gideon hadn't seen for himself. Gideon thought he was too small and unimportant. As Paul was just saying, you know, we need to have a real view of ourselves. He didn't have that right view of himself. So God was calling Gideon to trust him and to use his gifts and abilities and calling out of him what he couldn't see. But it was there. He was working with the grain of who Gideon was. So I think that we support each other in following God's guidance when we encourage each other to trust God and we call out from each other and affirm the gifts and abilities that we see. Because God will always be working with what we see in the person, their gifts, their abilities, their capabilities, the places where they are fruitful, because he knows us. And if we can encourage people to take steps along that path, then we will be partnering with God in helping that person to be the best that they can be. And I'll tell you what, in my experience, you can't encourage people too much. So don't feel like you're overdoing it. Be as encouraging as you can and you won't be overdoing it. And as I get to know you, I want to be able to see what God sees. That's one of my prayers, to be able to see what God sees, to call out the best in you and encourage you to be all that you can be. And I don't mean by that, I want you to do more. You'll be glad to know. But I'll be encouraging you to be more of who you can be, of who you always could be, of who God has in mind for you to be. And that goes for the church as a whole as well. With God's help and with each other's help, that really is possible. It says, one of the these verses in the Message version, it says, since we find ourselves fashioned into all these excellently formed and marvellously functioning parts of Christ's body, let's just go ahead and be what we were made to be. Amen. That is a good verse. So here we are at the opening of this new chapter for this church. And we're going to come now to the point in our service where we are committing ourselves to the ways of God by trusting God to bring out the best of us. And we're going to join with churches all over the world, many of whom will have prayed this prayer, covenant prayer, at the beginning of January. It's a powerful prayer. And we're going to read it through to start with before we pray it, because there are some hard-hitting phrases in there. It describes the same call that Jesus had on his life. And for those of us who say that we follow Jesus, we follow this call because we follow Jesus. Now, there might be some phrases in here that jar or you feel, oh, I don't know if I'm really able to say that wholeheartedly. In that case, you can pray them with the sense of declaring that you're wanting to want to do this. And I think that's okay, because we know that Jesus is the only one who can follow this perfectly. We know that we're not always faithful on our side of the promises we make to God. But God is always faithful. He's always calling us back for a fresh start. And with him, anything's possible. There's nothing that can stop us being able to take a fresh start. There's nothing that God can say, oh, you've done that, you're disqualified from this. It doesn't work like that. We can always start here and with a clean slate to step into the next phase. So let's see what it says in this prayer as we pray together. We're just going to look at the words now rather than actually praying them. It starts off, I am no longer my own, but yours. We're saying, God, that we want to align ourselves with you and allow you to bring out the best. We're saying that your ways, we trust your ways. We trust your goodness. We trust your knowledge of us. We trust your love of us. We say, put me to what you will. The best role for me, God, is the one that you choose, the one that fits the way I'm made, the one that works with the grain of who I am. Rank me with whom you will. That's what happened with Jesus. He was a king, he was called a king, but he was often ranked with outcasts. Put me to doing, put me to suffering. That can be a hard one. None of us really wants to suffer, but I don't think God promises to save us from suffering. He didn't save Jesus from suffering. But he does promise to save us from the power of darkness in our lives. Let me be employed for you or laid aside for you. It's not about what we do when we're employed. We can be employed or not employed. It's not about what we do. We partner with God even when we're doing nothing, because it's about what we're becoming and what we're being. Exalted for you and brought low for you. It's not about, you know, how others see us, is it? We look for the praise of God over the praise of man. So it's not about being exalted or brought low. We will accept either, God, before you. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I wonder which is the bigger test there, because being full and having all things is maybe what we look for in life, and it does make for an easier life. But it's when we have empty and we have nothing that many of us know that's when we really lean on God, isn't it? And we really seek him because we need him. That's why, you know, blessed are the poor and blessed are the hungry, because they know their dependence on God. I freely and wholeheartedly yield all things to your pleasure and disposal. We're seeking you, God, for yourself and not for what we can get. We're saying, I am yours and everything I have is yours. And through that, I will find the best that I can be. And it finishes, and now, glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are mine and I am yours. So be it. And the covenant now made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. Amen.